to week two of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Dan Black, and we've had a crazy week in the professional wrestling world. We're going to talk about the Brothers of Destruction. We're going to talk about the big tournament for the title. But before we do that, I want to introduce my guest on the podcast. Every week I bring on a new comedian to talk about professional wrestling, and this week is no different. My guest this week is Mr. Dan Van Kirk.
Hey, buddy.
Hello. Dan Van Kirk's a really funny comedian that I know from UCP. How else can we hear you, see you?
Oh, well, let's see. When is it, this is going to drop? A couple days.
Tomorrow.
Okay, cool. December 6th, I'll be doing my live show, which is also a podcast on the Earwolf Network called The Wahlberg Solution.
Yeah, really funny.
I do the Wahlberg character, and I have other comedians and guests on doing their characters as well. And then every Tuesday, I have a podcast I do with the Sklar Brothers, also on the Earwolf Network, called Sklarbro County. That comes out every single Tuesday. And then Thursdays, I do another show called Hindsight. And you're going to be a guest on that soon.
Yeah.
I bring people on, and comedian buddies of mine, and they bring three photos. We just talk about their life when the photos were taken. And other than that, I just do I do stuff around town. I do shows. So
we can hear you a lot. We can hear a lot of you. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, when you add it up, it's kind of embarrassing.
That's great. So before we dive into this week's Raw, which is a lot to get into, let's talk a little bit about your wrestling watching background, like how professional wrestling has fit into your life.
Oh, it's been around forever, man. I remember being like 8 or 9 years old at the Metro Center in Rockford, Illinois, and Hulk Hogan looked at me, and I thought that was like the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then every Saturday, was it 6:05? Was that when WCW would start on Saturdays on TBS?
Oh, yeah. That's something you'll learn on this podcast, is that I'm not a WCW guy.
Oh, that's okay.
I hated WCW.
Really?
Yeah, were you a WCW guy?
I remember all of it. Yeah, they did a long run that like affected me where...
They had the Saturday night show. They had Night Thunder. They had Saturday show. Thursday Night Thunder. What was the Saturday show? It's escaping me.
I don't remember, but I would watch it. And they did this long run once where somebody kept like messing with Sting, like would like scare him or like kidnap somebody. And then one time they kidnapped a friend of his, and then all of a sudden the person turned into a panther and set a deal, and it ended up being Ric Flair, who was like doing all the stuff. So I loved it. I loved that.
Well, that's when WCW was like taking over. That's when they were like, it looked like WCW might be the next.
A couple of, probably had to be a couple of years before NWO. But yeah, they were starting to like build steam and stuff like that. The Steiner brothers were crushing it.
I'm looking up, that show was called WCW Saturday Night.
Dude, that's pre-Bischoff. Bischoff would never let that happen.
Nitro Thunder Saturday Night.
I watched that, and then I was a big, I remember I went to... it was Bret Hart. It was in Rockford right after the WrestleMania that was in Chicago. It had to be like 96 or 97. And Stone Cold was like blowing up. And then that was kind of like the rebirth. That was my golden era of I still to this day love it. But yeah, I still to this day
Attitude
love it.
But
yeah, dude.
Once Stone Cold came on the scene, then you just switched more of a WWE guy?
No, then I just, it paralleled, man. I used to record one and watch the other.
Yeah.
And then if I was at a buddy's house, remember that deal where you would like flip back and forth the last couple
everyone
minutes?
Did.
Because you were just like, which one am I going to stick with? I went to a Nitro.
Do you remember that on Nitro where they revealed that Mick Foley wins the belt?
And everybody left. And
everyone
left.
They were like, their plan was, if we tell everyone they won't watch, everyone was like, shit, Mick Foley's going to win the belt. And everyone in the ratings were so hyper raw. That's actually probably how you could sum up the demise of WCW.
Yeah, no, a lot of people say like that was the end for them. But I remember going to a WCW Nitro, again, Rockford, Illinois, and a car like is honking behind us, and it's my Uncle Ken's driving, and they're like, Uncle Ken's driving, and so they like wave us to pull over, and then I get out and run back. Uncle Ken's like, go see what these sons of bitches want. And I go back, and it's Steve Mongo McMichael driving.
Wow.
The Big Show in the passenger seat.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, you know how to get to the Metro Center? I'm like, we're going the same place. And I...
I would love it if Big Show was in the back seat sitting, bitch.
I'm the Big Show.
Imagine you're chilling with Big Show, like you and all your buddies, and like somebody calls shotgun. He's like, I'm gonna sit in the front. Yeah.
I reached to like shake his hand. I have decent sized hands.
Yeah, you have big hands.
I couldn't get my hand around his hand. But that to me was one of the coolest things ever when I met the Big Show.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I do this show in New York. I was performing on the show called Ass Cat at UCB
Theater. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so one time sometimes it's huge celebrities will be the monologist on the show. And I'm cool with it. You know, I don't act. I'm totally fine. One time the guest was John Morrison.
Really?
John Hennigan.
Yeah.
Right? Who I know people know him around the community because he does improv. But for me, I was just, like, stuttering, talking to him, like, asking him all these questions. In hindsight, I was talking to him for, like, an hour, and he probably just wanted to, like, relax backstage.
Isn't that the worst?
So we started getting into his, like, contract signings with Triple H and his meetings, and I was like, I forced him into this conversation.
What kind of percentage you getting out of
this? Exactly.
That happens to me at UCB sometimes, too, and you're backstage with somebody, because I do Doug Benson's podcast a lot, and he gets, like, great guests, and you're sitting back there. And that feeling in the green room at UCB where you don't know what to say to a person, but you know if you could get yourself to mentally not give a fuck, you could have any conversation. But when you give a fuck, you're like, you like trees?
Yeah. And I'm fine with it. If it's any other kind of celebrity, when they're a professional wrestler, they're like unicorns to me. They're, you know, they're so special. I can't believe they're real.
Not if I touch your hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One requirement of the podcast that I require my guests to make sure they watch Raw.
Yeah.
On Monday. You watched Raw.
Yes, sir.
So, have you been watching wrestling lately?
Dude, I've been away from it for a while. I haven't had TV for like 2 years.
Right.
And so, pay-per-views, and then like when I'm home in Illinois, because my godson and my nephews like love it, so I'll like watch it with them and catch up on storylines and stuff like that. But I've been away. The crazy thing that I feel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is having like missed a lot of the day-to-day storylines and stuff. If you've missed over the past like 2 to 4 years, you really haven't missed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's wrestling. It's all kind of throwaway.
Right, but I just mean in terms of like, we were talking a little bit off mic, like the announcing hasn't been good in a long time. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we can get into the announcing definitely. We'll get into that whole thing when we go into Raw. But I know what you're saying, but here's what I will say, is that I had a period where I stopped watching wrestling, probably a 4-year period, you know?
Yeah.
And now I regret it. Even though it doesn't make any sense, I regret it because I think about the things I missed. And this is the period where it was like, people talk so poorly about like during the first Evolution run.
Yeah.
Like
when
Batista was like the champion and he's, you know, he's better in movies than as a professional wrestler. But then I'm just like, oh shit, there's like holes in my game. You know what I mean? So I like regret it. So even though wrestling is like,
have you gone back on the network?
Yeah, I've been going to the network and filling in holes, mainly doing pay-per-view work. I want to get into the Raws like when they have them all.
Dude, I do the same thing. Like last Christmas break, I was in Chicago for like 2 weeks. And so I had a buddy and I said, hey, every night, let's watch the genesis of NWO on WCW. Let's start at Bash at the Beach and like work our way up. And the crazy thing, I agree with what you're saying, because what I realized doing that is it seems like things are happening all the time when you're watching it, right?
Yeah.
But if you step away, you feel like, oh, I haven't really missed much. But you have missed, like, fun things and stuff that people might shit on later. Because what I realized watching NWO, there's months that have gone by where it's cumulatively maybe 7 minutes of the NWO doing something. Like, they just... Yeah. They come out literally for 30 seconds at the end. But when you were watching it every single week, it felt like, oh, shit. And then you talk about it. But, you do miss stuff
That stuff I find is easy to go back and watch. Like, I'll watch NWO in their heyday. Yeah. I'm trying to watch, like, Batista, Kurt Angle, 2006. And then you're like, no one talks about this match. Like, Night of Champions, Batista versus Jeff Hardy for, like, the, you know, for, like, whatever belt. There's 2 championship belts during the draft time.
J.J. Jarrett's back for 1 week.
Yeah. And you're like, and you just start being like, all right, I gotta work on something else.
Yeah, no,
but I gotta fill in those holes. So you watched Raw, so now you're like, caught up, so that's an interesting perspective.
I'm so pumped up for Santa's Little Helper with The Miz.
Oh, yeah. Is that out yet?
No, it's not. I don't think. Yeah. That was one of my favorite parts of watching Raw yesterday was the commercial for that. I was like, fuck Yes.
That's the movie debut of Paige, I believe.
Yeah, she's right? in it too.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can't wait to see her. We'll get into her later. All right, let's dive into Raw.
Okay.
Okay, so first thing I want to bring up, which is, I probably should skip over it, but I have a bad habit of just wanting to speak about everything. The France tribute. So I want to say something. I am fine with them doing it.
Sure. No.
I was thinking, do you think they mute the audience during that for the viewers? They have to, right?
I totally thought the same thing.
Wrestling fans are fucking scumbags.
Right.
Like, there's no way someone in the audience didn't just go like, what?
Green Bay Packer fans, widely regarded every year, they take votes on this, nicest fans in all of sports. When they did their moment of silence, Green Bay Packers fans yelled out racial shit. And Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Packers, called him out afterwards, said, I really hated that our fans said stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if the Green Bay Packer fans, the nicest people in all professional sports, are yelling stuff at Raw.
Oh, man. And I've been to wrestling shows. It's like the crowds of wrestling are like the rowdiest.
I want to say before I make this joke, this is not my personal preference, but I guarantee if you were there, somebody's like, towel heads!
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know that chant was happening.
Something happened. All right. Anyway, so let's get into the main thing.
Okay.
Taker. Let's talk about the opening. We hear the chants.
Yeah, which went on way too long.
Yeah.
It was like a minute and a half.
It went on way too long, and also it's like, he only does that normally for pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And that's like my whole problem with the Druids and the chant in this opening was that, like, he only does that for pay-per-views. So we know that that's going to somehow work into the angle there, because it's he doesn't normally come out with a bunch of Druids.
Right, right.
So you know, like, oh, those Druids are going to attack him or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. They're like, there's a reason they're out here. It's not going to be to just go back behind the curtain
eventually. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of revealed. That's like the whole, that's like the whole thing. Also with the idea of the magic there, like all the magic. It's getting weird. How did you feel?
They did a thing where they showed from last week.
Yeah.
Like when they got into it with the Wyatt family, and they put in lightning bolts that weren't there live. Like, as part of the highlight package from, like, let's take a look at last week. And they put in lightning bolts coming down.
See. That happened during the show, but they were clearly, like, in post. They
looked like, that's what I mean.
Yeah, they looked horrible.
Yes. They looked absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The magic is weird, but Kane came out with Undertaker. They're doing the Brothers of Destruction thing. I will say this. I'm loving Undertaker's run right now. Like, clearly he's retiring at Mania. I'm glad that Yeah, I mean, 100%. It's in Texas. The way he's looking.
What did he do to get so good from when the streak ended to now? Like, he looks like he's done two rounds of DDP yoga. Like, does he look so much better?
You say Taker looks so much better? Than
when? Than when the streak was broke to Brock.
Yeah.
Was that 30?
He's definitely, like, in better shape.
Yeah.
It's weird. He's in, like, he looks a little, like, heavier around, like, the midriff.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's, like, lifting.
Yeah.
You know, like, the last Rocky movie? Did you see the last one? Like, the one that, I think it's just called Rocky?
Yeah.
Or,
you're right.
And that one, in it, they're like, all right, your knees are shot. So, we're just going to have to focus on power, because there's no way you're going to be fast.
Right, right.
I think that's kind of what he's doing. He's even, like, giving up on that. Like, he's more rugged in general. He doesn't even shave his back anymore. You see that? He has, like, I'm noticing that, like, Undertaker, when he does his, like, back turn and puts his hand up, like, he does his, like, Malcolm X thing, his back is covered in hair, so he's not waxing.
Right. Well, dude, shoulder's blown. He can't get to that.
Yeah. So now he's just like, I'm going to be strong. So he looks wide. He looks big. So I think that's cool. I kind of like that. We're seeing like an old, grizzled, strong Undertaker.
Yeah, but then I think that old grizzledness is what played into all of his stuff on the mic.
Yeah, so let's get into his promo, because that's really the main thing. So his entrance was definitely weird. He came with the Druids. Then he cut this promo that went on, I think, way too long. The power, Undertaker should probably not say much. Maybe like a sentence. Maybe like a rest in peace. He knows that when he goes on Jimmy Fallon. Like, he was on Fallon this week. Yeah. He gave a tombstone to a turkey for Thanksgiving. And he didn't say anything. And they knew, like, let's not have him speak.
Right.
But on Raw, he cuts a pretty long promo. And everything he's saying, which what you were saying, is that he's saying, like, all movie lines.
And then Army of Darkness, which is, like, Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other? Oh, to the dark side.
Then he said, this is a quote. He said, I forget exactly what the beginning was, but he was like, you can't defeat the power of the dark side. Like, he literally quoted the Emperor.
Two on nose right there.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was him, and then Kane was doing the same thing. I'm like, you touch fire, you get burnt.
Well, yeah, so it's like, he's a quote, I don't know, it was so corny. The whole segment was really corny for me. I think that, then they were addressing what happened with, I mean, there's so much to say. Jesus, I'm scattered. Like, they were saying that, all right, so this is something you don't know, but at the end of Hell in a Cell, the Wyatt family came out, carried Undertaker's body out.
Okay.
Right. And then on Raw the next night, I think, they carried out Kane. So they carried him out. And then they showed up together. And then the whole thing they're saying is that they tried to take our souls. Like, that's what they did?
Yeah.
Sounds, is that what the Wyatts
did? Sounds respectable with the way they took him out.
Right. It doesn't make sense. You're like, what do you... When they carry you out, I'd like to know... They try to convert you to Wyatts. That's what they've done in the past. They like converted the Bray Wyatt. And this time it was like they carried him out, and then they don't have him captured. They just carried him out, like let him go there, like try to take their soul for 5 minutes and let him go home.
Here, answer this question for me: has WWE, in your opinion, really figured out what to do with the Wyatts? Because WrestleMania 30, when Bray Wyatt fought John Cena, I thought, oh, this is a really good setup for. Like a turn for John Cena. Like he could get sucked in and kind of be like mind fucked with by the Wyatt family and end up like maybe kind of like running with them for a little while.
Yeah.
Because eventually Cena, I know he won't, but eventually he has to turn. He has to turn or at least do something where it's excused because he got amnesia and Bray Wyatt made him think that he was one of them. Like something that like make him really interesting and then nothing ever happened with it. And then Bray Wyatt just kind of like moved from storyline to storyline without everything ever being that great. And I think that's really what they're trying to do now, but how long do you do that for?
Just well, Bray Wyatt, the whole thing with Bray Wyatt is, I don't think Cena will ever turn.
Sure.
Just because of the Stone Cold turn.
Right.
When Stone Cold turned, it was like their biggest mistake ever.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be similar to that. But I would say that Bray, they've sunk him. Like, he came out super strong. And then we talked about this last week, like he's just losing every single match. Like he loses every single big match. That's all they need to do with him is just have him win. My pitch about Bray Wyatt is to have him be like a true cancer on the WWE. Like have him be, like the Joker of WWE.
Yeah.
Like where it doesn't really make sense when he's popping up. He decides to ruin matches.
Totally.
And like he doesn't even care about the belt even. Like, he's just, you know what I mean? I mean, eventually he will try to get the belt, but I'll have a reason. It's because he wants the money that comes with it or something to do something else. To, like, start his own show. You know what I mean? Like, they're not as imaginative with him, and he cuts these promos that are just, like, nonsensical, cryptic nonsense, like, bullshit.
Yeah, totally. And then you could have somebody be like, I'm sick of this Bray Wyatt shit, and then they're going after Bray. And then you have a real, like, beef between those two. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than try to always make him like the thorn in somebody else's like side on one storyline, do it a deal where he's literally a wild card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But instead he's lost. He lost to Undertaker at Mania. So the whole thing now is that I think they're trying to push Bray. I hope they're trying to push Bray by having him win big against Taker.
At WrestleMania?
I mean, I don't know who Taker's fighting at Mania. We don't know yet. I think, I don't know.
Because if you do that, that means Bray Wyatt has to win a Survivor Series.
Bray Wyatt would have to win at Mania if they want to lead up to that. But I don't think it's going to happen because I think Taker's in it till Mania. Like, I think he's doing one last stretch. Like, he was at Hell in a Cell, and now he's doing Survivor Series. I think he's sticking around
until he's done. Especially if he's done, because he's like, I got to get as many paychecks as I can before I get out of here.
So one thing is, like, Taker cuts that promo, goes on too long. It's, like, kind of feeling a little bit corny. It's a little bit like little kid like, but I noticed that he really commits to the gravel voice, like rest in peace. But Kane doesn't do it as well.
No.
So to compensate, at the end of his words, he just goes like, ugh. So Kane was just saying like he would just be like, if you play with fire, you're gonna get burned.
He saves it all.
Just like his regular voice. But Kane really hurts because we just saw Kane in his regular mode before.
Yeah.
So it's weird. I don't know. I mean, I like this whole I like this whole feud, but I don't like the magic. Like, I don't like that they're being like, they're fighting for souls. Bray Wyatt is fighting to be like, he's fighting to be the new face of fear. You know, like, he's like, I'm the new you. And they should just be like, no, you're not. We're still strong. Like, right. They don't need to make it so mystical.
But if you were 11, would you love it?
I don't know. I don't think so. Because when Undertaker was doing this during the Attitude Era, I was 15 or so, you know?
Yeah.
And even, he looked so dumb during that era that he had to become a biker. Because, during that time, the Undertaker, the Rock was just like, and Stone Cold were so, had such great characters that were semi-grounded in reality that he was, like, doing magic and it felt so stupid. And the Rock would sell him out. The Rock would be like, you come out here saying, die, 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 like, controlling the lights. And it's like, he's like, shit, I better become a biker. No, I don't know. I don't think so. But I did like him when I was 9.
Yeah, man. When I was 9, like, he scared the shit out of me.
I guess you're right.
But as we talked about a little bit off mic, Paul Bearer also, like, sold it.
Yeah, Paul Bearer.
He really brought the creep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking, we were watching him cut that promo, and I was like, oh, man, if he just stood there and had Paul Bearer just, like, squealing, oh, like, I would have just, like, selling it all for him. It was so much better. And last thing I'll say is that Kane mask. I hate that Kane mask. If he's coming back as Brother of Destruction, he should wear the old Kane mask.
And does Kane always have to have long hair? Like, why can't you just have the mask knowing that he doesn't have long hair?
I don't know. That's just part of the mask is it has hair connected to it.
That's,
they revealed the mask, like, there's a few times where Stephanie holds it and you see the hair on it. Like, you know, like, it's just like the mask has hair, which is, it's very strange.
Do they sell the mask? Do they sell the mask with hair?
I don't think they sell the mask. I actually don't think they sell his current mask.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't seen his mask sold since the old one, since the, like, the red and white.
Can I side question you?
Yeah.
What was the merch you bought the most? Or just your most memorable merch? Like, did you have Hitman sunglasses?
I did have Hitman sunglasses, and I lied to everybody that he gave them.
Oh! For those at home, I just shoulder punched him.
I told everybody that Hitman put them on me in the front row.
No.
And, like, it was a lie that I believed. And it also was a lie that I didn't tell that much.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It was, like, a lie I told maybe, like, 2 times. And
yeah, man, he gave them to me.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, I had that. I had Adam Bomb, like, Nerf footballs.
Yeah.
Those, like, the bombs you would throw. And then as a kid, I didn't have that much merch when I was a kid because, like, you had to mail away for them. Mm-hmm. They were, like, harder to get than now.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of like, now you can kind of be like, hey, Dad, can you put your credit card in here online and do it? Then it was like, hey, can you, like, write me a check, give me postage? Like, give me an envelope.
Mom, I need a self-addressed stamp envelope.
Yeah. They could think it through too much to be like, you don't need this.
I think I only got my stuff at shows. And I think I probably went to more house shows than I went to actual
live. Yeah, that's where I got the stuff that I got was all from house shows.
Yeah.
And I had the wrestling buddies also. I had the toys.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, all that. But in the Attitude Era, the stuff I had was mainly DX stuff. Yeah.
You were like, DX?
Yeah, I love DX. I had the DX jersey here. I still have it. Maybe I should wear it every episode. Like, I'll always record in the DX jersey. It says 69 on the back. Degenerate. I had that jersey. I regret some of my... I have so much t-shirt buying, non-buying regrets. Like, some t-shirts that I was thinking about buying, and then I was like, ah, fuck it, I don't need it.
Like,
because the t-shirts don't fit that good.
Yeah.
Like, WWE merchandise is crazy. They did have one period where they made, like, better-fitting shirts, but... When I was younger, I'd be like, oh, I never wear them. I buy them and I'll wear them. But now, there was finally... I saw The Rock in Madison Square Garden. They sold finally. The Rock came back to New York with an apple.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And, like, that shirt I can't find on eBay. I eBay it, like, every once in a while.
Really?
I just randomly eBay it.
Dude, you know if you find it, it's going to be expensive as shit.
I've never seen it on there.
I was hoping you were going to say you really missed out on, like, a really sweet Al Snow shirt.
No, like, what do you want? Head?
Yeah.
No. I mean, that, the Stone Cold with his face and the original Austin 316 shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the original, but it's the one I like the most with his face. Bleeding from mm-hmm. WrestleMania 13.
Mm-hmm.
That one I could have bought. Like, I was at these shows where they were selling them, and I was like, eh, whatever. Or I bought, like, an Xbox t-shirt or something.
Ugh.
Like, I just bought the wrong shit at the time. I you know. But yeah. So, all right, back to Raw.
Yes.
So let's talk. All right, so we had that Taker opening, and then the rest of Raw was the tournament, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this Raw was like the Raw of great matches.
Yeah,
this was like
there's been pay per views with less as good matches as
this. Yes, every match in this felt like pay per view quality match. That's exactly what I said, and it was all amazing wrestlers versus amazing wrestler. So there's no surprise. There's no surprise there.
Right.
So the first match, they were going through the brackets. The one thing I'll say is that the problem with this bracket is that there's no surprise wins. Like, you know who's going to win each match, even though the matches were good. Sometimes it even tricked me. I was like, oh, this bracket is so uninteresting. You know who's going to win. That there were a few times, there were a few false finishes that I fell for. Because I was like, oh, they're going to make this awesome. Like,
so
I thought Cesaro might beat Reigns, which sounds so stupid. But, like, just the spots were done so well.
Dude, Cesaro and, like, Ziggler, those guys are just in this realm of, like, not getting the right type of heat that I wish they would get. But yeah. I'm going to ask you, you thought Kalisto was going to win last week?
I did.
Really?
Yeah, I actually did. Because I was like, if he's in there, he's in there, there's a reason. They want to Cinderella him a little bit to make this interesting.
See, that's why I thought he would win last night, too. Because I'm like, I can't tell if... Because they kept talking about, like, you know, maybe he doesn't have the big looks and all the stuff and kind of a normal guy and he's got really good moves. And then I thought to myself, are they trying to unorganically recreate what Daniel Bryan did? Or are they just, is it a bit and they're making fun of Daniel Bryan? And then literally Michael Cole said, it's like what Daniel Bryan did. But I can't tell if they're trying to push it or make fun of it.
Everything in wrestling is derivative of something else. Right. It's all like the Montreal Screwjob. Like, everything's happened already, and that's their creativity is just repeating something in a slightly different way.
There were some moves in some of the matches that I hadn't seen before. I was like, that's dope.
Our guest last week, Matthew Bryan Cohen, made a... Since Survivor Series is this weekend, and it's like for the belt, they're like, oh, they're going to do the screw job again.
Yeah.
You know, because like, that's like what they do. And they're like, oh. But so I did, here's what I was saying. I knew that Del Rio would beat Kalisto because in the brackets, it would be Kalisto versus Reigns. And Kalisto would be a huge face. Like, the whole crowd would go nuts for Kalisto. And all they're trying to do is pair Reigns, is like have Reigns be, oh, wait, I'm wrong about the brackets. I think the brackets are, it would be, what are the matches?
Kevin Owens?
No, it's Owens.
Owens and Ambrose are on one side, so it would
I'm right. All right, cut that out. I'm right. So, Reigns versus Kalisto. Kalisto would be the overwhelming face. Right. Like, every offensive maneuver he did, they would just go cheer huge. Anytime Reigns punched, they would go boo. Because of the Daniel Bryan effect, which they even brought up.
Yeah.
Like, So that match, let me
go through it. Sorry, I jumped you around.
Yeah, we jumped around about every match. But yeah, let's just go through the matches from the top. Oh, let's talk about the Kalisto match quick, because that's probably one we have the least to say, which is just great match. Kalisto is really fun. I think you could do a lot with Kalisto. How do you feel about Kalisto? Have you seen Kalisto before this?
Yes. Okay, yes. For some reason, that limp penis tail coming off the back of his mask drives me nuts.
It's nuts. I mean, I don't like the mask in general.
Okay, two things though happened in this match. When Del Rio accidentally took off his mask and then spent 35 seconds on the top buckle trying to put it back on while still making it look like he wasn't trying to put it back on, but he totally, he felt like shit for accidentally pulling it off. And I think you could hear Kalisto be like, hey, man!
And they're like, this is a tremendous sign of disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
Taking off a great
color commentary.
And it's like,
So then they did a great deal where he left him hanging on the belt and then drew attention away with the ref so that he could put it back on.
Right.
So, okay, that's one thing. My other thing, though, that fucking top rope curb stomp type thing that Del Rio did to win the match was crazy. Now, maybe I've been gone for a while, but is that commonplace?
I think...
I loved the way that looked. And Kalisto sold it. Like, he folded in half.
Yeah. I was wondering the same thing. Like, has Del Rio done that before? Like,
that's a great finish.
I don't remember him doing that, but it looked amazing. Also, in general, Del Rio looks amazing.
Yeah.
He's in, like, superhero shape.
So he's been back, right?
Yeah, he got fired because he punched a guy for saying punched like a WWE employee for saying racist shit.
Oh, well, shame on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody said something racist, and then he got fired, and, like, everybody talks about how good of a guy Del Rio is.
Yeah.
And then they clearly, like, hired him back. I mean, my thing with Del Rio, we talked about it last week, is I just think he should just be, like, the hero to Latinos. Like, that's it.
Sure.
And just, like, don't worry about how he fits in as a face or a heel. Just right. try to get him over with his, like, why he's there. Okay, for his
so,
yeah,
so the weird, before his match, there was, like, a thing with him and that Trump campaign manager guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what his name is.
Zeb Coulter. He's
a big fan of KFC or something. So, like, he's on a rascal. Yeah. But before they come out, what was that whole deal? Triple H comes out and shakes his hand, and then he's like, it's good to have people on your side.
Yeah, so Triple H did this thing. I'm glad you brought it up. I loved it. He was going to everybody in the tournament just being like, hey, look, if you win this thing, join the authority. You know, like, cooperate with us. Okay. They want to, like, have the charity because Rollins was their, you know, shill, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, okay, we'll have you now. So he's just going like, hey, like, you know, if you win this thing, like, you're gonna need some backing. But I am unsure about, like, what they can offer. You know what I mean? But last week, Reigns, they offered Reigns to move just to the finals right away.
Yes.
Like, we'll let you just go to the finals.
Yeah.
And he turned it down. Yeah, he turned it down.
And then
because he's dumb.
I know you want to get into this, so I don't want to step on you, but that makes more sense with the promo that Dean Ambrose cut then about saying he wasn't gonna be a show. That's why he did it.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Right. I mean, we'll talk about the Ambrose. We'll talk about the Ambrose promo. So let's go to the matches in order. Well, and skip Kalisto, but the Owens versus Neville. This match was
great.
Fucking sick.
Yeah. Like,
this match, I loved it. You loved it.
Yeah, well, you have two guys that can sell the shit. To me, it always comes down to that.
Yeah.
Like how...
Two NXT guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Neville, I mean, maybe I missed it when he did it, but if he's not doing a Legolas character, he needs to start soon.
Yeah, that's so funny. He does have like he's got those pointy ears.
Yeah, yeah.
He basically is Elvin.
I know. I don't know why we're not playing that up.
Game maybe that's the way so to hot. Boost his promo. Just start talking in Elvin.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, did you get the cooker? That's my Elvin. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's just like Liv Tyler whispering.
Yeah, he's got a staff. Yeah.
That is amazing. But he does come out with a cape. But, great, you know, and you know Owens, but again, my problem is, like, you know Owens is going to win the match. Like, just, they're not going to push Neville over Owens. Though, I'm into that. I love Kevin Owens.
A Neville-Ambrose fight would have been great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. They were going
to... Yeah, but Owens is great. I love Owens. That was great. It was just a great match. Yeah. Not much to say. I mean, Neville, when you watch him wrestle, he's just like another... It's another level. He had that move that what they were calling the snap German suplex. That I never seen him do, which was amazing. Where he just throws a guy off the turnbuckle right into a German suplex.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Then he has that second rope flip-a-ma-doo, which I think actually has a name. I don't know.
I'm sure.
Yeah. He's great. And then he had that backwards Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
All that was amazing, and Owens took it all amazing, which is just great.
Yep.
I'm just saying it's great. That's all I'm saying. This is all great.
Yeah, you gotta sell.
Neville's amazing. I think Neville has future championship material written on him. But I know people think I'm crazy.
At least I see.
I think he can be the top guy, but I know it's crazy. He's not the kind of guy who typically wins. Cool, so Owen moves on. Then who's gonna face Owen is either Ziggler versus
Ambrose.
And this, you know Ambrose is going over. Which is, I mean, I get so worked up about this. I like Ambrose. I like him. I know I have a Ziggler bias. Ziggler is my friend. But I will say this, is that you look at, if you take a snapshot of these two guys in the fucking ring, Ambrose is wearing jeans and a black wife beater. He looks like dressed like Chuck Norris on a Sunday. Like... And then Ziggler's dressed like a professional wrestler.
Brilliant.
He looks like Shawn Michaels. He's like tanned up. He's like cut. He's got the bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
He's all this hair. You know,
he's the kid Dusty Rhodes wanted.
Wow, that's extreme.
I know, I'm just joking. I'm not gonna agree with that. I know. I mean, it was a total joke.
But he's
that throwback of, like I said this too, like Ziggler in 97 would have been everything.
Yeah.
And he needs to get respect for it because I think people still love it. He's just not getting the right push.
Look, here, my thing is this. That's what he's doing is still in style in wrestling. It's not
sure,
not in style.
It's not in style
for the guys who are heavyweights right now.
Exactly.
Like, you still have other wrestlers who have His gimmick is not insane. It's just his attire. Yeah. You know, he's just dressed like a Shawn Michaels type. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't feel like that can't work.
Right.
But anyway, it just bothers me when, like, one guy's putting in that classic wrestling effort, clearly going to the hotel, waxing all over the fucking floor in that bathroom, leaving an extra tip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's doing that. He's getting the tanning in. He's bleaching it. Like, once he gets one-inch roots, it's time to bleach again.
Yep.
You know? He's staying in that shape. His outfit is, like, a wrestling outfit. He's wearing wrestling boots.
Putting the time in the bathroom, time in the gym.
Yeah, and that's just that it. But Ambrose is great. Their match was great. They did a great job of making them both look awesome. So it was like just Ambrose kind of won. Yeah. Like Ambrose happened to win.
Yeah.
But, man.
The best part was after the match.
So anyway, the main thing we need to talk about is the Ambrose promo. Ambrose is so winded. And he clearly like pre-thought this promo. And it's... Did you like it?
Yeah, well, I loved it for... how bad it went, and then how inspired it was. Like, he talked like a guy who's late for the meeting and had to take the stairs. You know what I mean? He's got to get this up. Yeah. Guys, now look, I know I'm running late.
And he was just like, if I win, I'm turning this place upside down. And he had his eyes wide open, and then he just rattled off a list of like things he's gonna do if he became champion. Like that's something that happens. Like if you become champion, that means that like you are able to change things, which is something we talked about. Like there should be more stakes when you are the champion.
Sure.
You should be able to do more.
Very similar to like 8th grade student body president.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a lot of things are going to change at the school that he has no power to.
He's like, if I win, there's going to be more action and less talking. More pyro. You wanted more pyro. What? He doesn't even come out to pyro.
Wants more of it, man. Across the board.
Why does he want more pyro?
Everybody, New Day, pyro. Neville, pyro. Everybody gets pyro.
But not pyro. It's his platform, his 8th grade platform. It's like, I own the school, we need healthier lunches and more pyro.
That's not even the best thing he said. What was
he goes, we want more pyro. Then he's like, I want to put Michael Cole in a fish tank. And then he said he wants breakfast for dinner, which was such a de-heightening from putting Michael Cole in a fish tank.
Dude, Dean Ambrose is the best stepdad in professional wrestling.
That's amazing.
Everything that he's giving is the stepdad. Like breakfast for dinner, dude. He's the Uncle Buck of WWE.
Yeah, he's the Uncle Buck. He's the cool uncle.
He's here. He's driving a Buick.
He's like,
that's another thing. I want more Buicks on the way to the venue. More fedoras. And you just slowly see the audience be like, fedora? And it's that color of those ridiculous things. Like,
but he clearly had it thought out.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely planned. Yeah. You could tell he was definitely...
What was his big ending?
He said...
Ambrose Asylum or something?
Yeah. Because that was his line. He's like, I'm turning this into the Ambrose Asylum, which I actually think is great.
Sure.
That's a really cool marketing. Like he's trying to make the Ambrose Asylum. I think could be a cool T-shirt.
I can see that merch.
And I guess he's taking the Joker thing because they won't give it to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, exactly.
Dennis, my dog is just being a nuisance here.
Listen at home. Dan Black has a gorgeous, gorgeous dog.
I have a 10-month-old Labradoodle. If I came out, I'd be the British Labradoodle. Yeah. So Ambrose and Ambrose Asylum. That's cool. So, yeah, I think that was really funny. So, yeah, then the next match, Reigns-Cesaro. You know Reigns is going over, but it's a shame because Cesaro is a mega talent.
Huge, man. He's super, super strong and very, very personable. And a lot of times, as a guy who goes with the buzz cut, a lot of times it's hard with Vince and stuff if you're not a giant, literally, like the Big Show or somebody. Like, he doesn't have a lot of the looks of, like, you know, the wet, constantly wet hair and stuff like that. But he sells it. Like, he's got charisma.
Also,
it's just not being used.
On that note, like, he also is way more strong than he looks.
Yeah.
Like, he's super lean and long.
Yeah.
But he's, like, the strongest guy in WWE.
Yeah.
And it's like, Vince is just like, they have to look like Batista to look strong.
What do I do with him?
He's not wide enough.
Yeah.
On TV, doesn't read. You know?
You totally would. Did he ever do, like, a transporter type look thing? Because I feel like he
for,
sell that
for when I first
deal.
Came back to watching, when I first saw Cesaro, he had like the straight up horseshoe. He had like the horseshoe. He wasn't even, like then he started buzzing
Cesaro
it real close.
Is the principal.
Someone gave him that note to like get rid of it. Then I kind of missed it. I liked that he had the horseshoe.
Yeah.
Because it's cool to rock it.
Yeah.
In wrestling, it's just like, you gotta bick it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that match was amazing. Cesaro is amazing. You know Reigns is going over, but Cesaro is getting the pop. That's what they're scared of. That's their problem with Reigns, is that...
What do you do
if they pair him up with Bray Wyatt?
What do you really do if you're the WWE? You can't... You've tried every way to force feed this guy.
Yeah, he's got a turn. And that's what a lot of people are saying, is that they think that he's secretly going to accept authority's offer. It's going to be Reigns this Sunday, Reigns, Ambrose, and then Reigns is going to win but with the help, like, you know, Triple H is going to hit him with a little cerebral attack, you know? Yeah. That's just, I don't know how it's going to go down, but they think he's going to join the authority. Reigns as a heel will work amazingly, and especially Reigns as a heel, if he just stands behind Triple H with the belt and shuts his fucking mouth, he would look amazing, you know?
Yeah, because
But there's nothing. He will not work as a face, because if you put him with Cesaro, if he wrestles Bray Wyatt, then he works as a face, because you're like... Everyone's like, oh, okay, Bray Wyatt's a bad guy. Like, we'll boo him. Right. We like him, but we like to boo him. Like, he's not over enough where, like, when he's in heel mode, he's going to get face pop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when he wrestles Cesaro, he's gonna, any other strong face, they're going to root for Reigns.
Yeah, even...
For Cesaro.
Yeah, even if he was a bit, like you had said, if Kalisto had made it, they would have just out of, like, for pure bit sake, they would have, like, gone for him. My other problem with Reigns, too, and this is the beauty of something like the Stunner, like the Stone Cold Stunner, is that Superman punch is lame, dude.
The Superman punch,
because crafting a great finishing move can come from anywhere, but quickly, from any angle, and look awesome.
But he kind of does it like that.
Yeah, he does it all the time. Yeah. He'll do it out of anywhere. But then if he has enough time, he'll act like he needs like a big setup for it. And then it just doesn't look that great.
Yeah.
I don't know, it doesn't do it for me. So I feel like that's part of it too. Is like, and also, even if that is your deal, the Superman punch is not, it's not a big enough move to warrant that name.
It's kind of corny that it's like the Superman punch. I like the Superman punch, personally. I think it's cool. But I don't like that it's like Superman punches his setup into the spear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're just doing a spear.
Right.
Like he could use a cool finish.
Yeah.
The spear is so played out. Like everything about him is, like, we talk about Reigns forever. I brought up Reigns last week.
Can I ask you one question about Cesaro?
Yeah.
Wait, was it him or Del Rio? Who did the, like, I grab you by the legs and spin you around?
Cesaro.
What is
that? The King of Swing. You don't like it? What? So here's the thing: it's not a good move.
No, it is not a good move.
It's not a move. It is cool to see that it actually works, because it's something I've like thought about as a kid. You know, I remember being like, I remember the first time I saw the Alabama Slam, which is, you know what that move is?
No, I don't.
It's like when you take someone. All right, somebody like sits on your shoulders. Their legs go down in front of you. There's definitely a better way to explain this.
Yeah.
Let's say you lean them back and just slam them on their face. Kind of like a Mortal Kombat. Like, I want to say Jax. Kind of like throws you down like that. I was like, oh, what if a wrestler did that? And then like Hardcore Holly started doing it. I was like, oh, it's like the physics of wrestling. It does work.
Right.
So I do appreciate that he can do it. Because it's like, oh, you can swing somebody and you can keep it going and going. That's cool. It doesn't work as like a move, and his finisher is not my favorite either. But he was in a tag team with Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
And then Tyson Kidd broke his neck, literally. Mm. And he's out right now with a broken neck. They were a tag team, and their finisher was he spins him a few times, and then Tyson kicks him with the momentum.
Yeah.
And then that worked.
Yeah,
that was great, because it was like, all right, now it's too, for a purpose.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it gives you more momentum into that kick. And it's like, Jesus.
Cesaro needs something
else. It's like Indiana Jones putting, like, the spoke in a wheel.
Yeah.
And then the motorcycle flips.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, stop it. That I think is cool. But, yeah, so look at that bracket. We have Owens versus
Dean.
Ambrose.
Yeah.
Ambrose is going to go over. Yes. 100%.
Right. It'll be a good match, too.
It'll be clean win, too. Yeah. It'll be a cool match. It'll be a good match.
Right.
I mean, pretty much all Kevin Owens matches have been great, except for his matches versus Ryback. That just didn't work. But Ryback's a horrible professional wrestler.
Yeah,
not a fan. He's another guy who they should just... He needs to just be like an enforcer.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. We can talk about that forever. And then the other side is Reigns versus Del Rio, which would be a cool match also. I mean, they're all good matches.
Sure.
They're all going to be really cool matches. Reigns will win clean. And then Reigns-Ambrose. What do you think is going to happen to Reigns-Ambrose for the championship? And they've been teasing the authorities wanting to get in there. Ambrose said there's no way he's going to sell out. Reigns already refused to sell out.
So Reigns will win, right?
Yeah. It's just dangerous to let Reigns win.
Why? He's going to lose at WrestleMania, though.
Yeah.
So they'll give the people what they want when he loses.
If he wins,
who he's going to lose to, right, at WrestleMania.
Here's why it's dangerous. If he wins as a face, they're going to boo again.
Yeah, but
it's
they already are.
They're going to boo. If he goes heel, then they're with the boos. Then they're reading the crowd. But Ambrose is the face versus Ambrose versus Reigns.
I don't
it's not going to work out. Like a face, it's going to be a disaster. Like Reigns with the belt cutting. I mean, he cut a promo. He cut that promo tonight on Raw. Like he cut a promo where he was just sounded like me right now. He's just stumbling over his words, just to a place where it's like, oh my god, dude. Just like get it, your whole existence depends on you.
Take
just
an improv class.
Yeah, take an improv class. Really. Somebody write him some succinct 3-line promos.
Yeah.
Right? Like just Jesus. Yeah, cool. So we talked about that tournament.
Yep.
What do I think? Gun to the head. What do I think is going to happen? Ambrose versus Reigns. I think what's going to happen is Reigns is going to win clean and not sell out. I think they're going to make that mistake. I think they're going to see right now is the dark period. Like it's before the road to WrestleMania.
Sure.
So the stakes are a little bit lower to test him out. He can have the belt. And they're like, we can always turn him heel in that amount of time before Mania. I think they're going to try it. And it's going to be a disaster.
Have they tried the route where, remember how back in like D-Generation X and NWO, maybe you didn't watch too much of that, but they could really get you to like somebody by having them just violently be beat by D-Generation X or NWO. Or like they'd come out and cut some, you know, D-Generation X would like cut somebody's hair or something like that and like knock them out. And then
their
friends would try and help and then they beat those guys up. Yeah. And then, like, they'd have to be hauled off in a stretcher. And you couldn't wait for that person to come back and fight Triple H. Even though you kind of liked D-Generation X, you were like, yeah, go back, get him. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, have they gone that route with Reigns where somebody's, like, clowned him and, like, really disrespected him and, like, really put him down so hard that people are like, he's got to get this guy back for this.
I mean, the closest they got to is they had Bray have, like, pictures of his daughter. And they were like, I'm going to, like,
that's bullshit.
Touch your daughter. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, hey, oh, I know where you live. No, but no one ever came out and, like, shaved his head.
Yeah, because if you do that, you'd be like, fuck, Roman Reigns needs to get this guy back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least then you would feel the motivation for what he's doing. Right now, it just seems so imposed.
They're trying to make Reigns the next John Cena.
It's not gonna happen.
He has the look and the in-ring talent, but that's it.
I showed you a picture of him in 1995, you'd be like, heel.
Yeah.
That's what he should be.
And he basically was a heel in the Shield.
Right.
Even when they were face, he was like the one who's like a loose cannon. Ambrose wasn't even like the loose cannon there. It was kind of like Reigns is like, oh shit, once you unleash him, he was like the battering ram.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so cool. And he didn't say anything. All he said was believe in the Shield. Remember that? That was all.
Go back to saying one word.
And
that was
it.
Great idea.
Yeah. I feel bad for him
because
he has this opportunity that he just...
That's, you ever do that? Like, I think about it from his perspective, man. His dream is just like, be the champ. Be the guy. Like, and if you grew up with him or you were a friend of him, you'd want people to shut the fuck up because he's worked his ass off and he's trying really hard. And yeah, maybe they let him cut a few corners or he's been, you know, not as vetted as everybody else. But who would turn that down? You know what I mean? Like, anybody would go for it. But then we aren't his friends. So we're like, this sucks.
And we're like, we watch this thing.
Right.
I got a podcast so I have to watch this thing. You can dip out for a little bit.
Sure.
I'm going to have to watch Reigns. Yeah. He needs a whole revamp. He needs to, I'm going to say it every single week. He needs to come out in undies. He needs to look like a professional wrestler. He comes out in this, like, he's like an old relic of the Shield days.
I think you should bring back the Four Horsemen, lead that charge.
All right. Last thing to speak about.
Yeah. The Divas.
The contract signing. Charlotte, Paige, contract signing. This was crazy.
Bananas.
This was crazy.
I'm Michael Cole standing there with his face down holding a mic for 7 minutes was also one of my favorite parts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Michael Cole, do you know about how he got in really good shape?
No.
Yeah, yeah, Cole, like, Michael Cole is now, like, jacked.
Really?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And he's, like, kind of just, whatever. He's being really corny about it on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, oh yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, check it out. Anyway, this was insane. Now, I don't want to disrespect the Flares.
What? Why? They signed off on this.
But it seems like they made a wild choice. But I don't even know who made this choice. All right. So basically, they chose to incorporate the death of Charlotte's brother and Ric Flair's son, Reed Flair, into the storyline. And it's very clearly like a very emotional thing for their family. Sure. You know, he died of a drug overdose. He was a professional wrestler. And it's kind of like, his dream was to be a wrestler, and it wasn't Charlotte's dream. And she kind of just came into it and kind of, you know, obtained his dream and did it for him. And it's a really...
No shit? That's a real dream?
No, that's real.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of felt like Charlotte... They came out for the contract signing. It kind of felt like Charlotte was crying before she cut the promo. Like, Vince forced her to, like, be like, we're talking about your brother. It's going in the storyline. And she did not... She was literally, like, emotional before she said it. And you couldn't fake it. And she had a moment, even when she was cutting that promo, where she was crying so hard, where she was like, oh, man. Like, she's like, I'm blowing this because I'm crying so much.
Yeah.
And then she got back on track. It's like a really small moment that, you know, as a performer, I could recognize.
Yeah, you see it.
And you're like, this is cool, but they're really not selling this. And also, it made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
No, I felt completely uncomfortable, and a part of me was like, man, the only way this would be more badass and simultaneously fucked up is if they only told Paige that they were doing this.
You know what I mean? Which I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's within the realm
Paige,
of possibility.
Paige, what you related to your brother. Well, Paige, I loved her when she said the line, which was like, your brother didn't have that, you know, and they like set her off. It was all cool, but it wasn't rooted. I think my problem with this is it wasn't rooted enough in reality. So what I'm saying is, like, you're saying that, you were there for me when my brother was there, and, like, now you turned on me.
Yeah.
But if Paige actually turned on her in real life a little bit, or we had some dirt about their relationship backstage and Paige being, like, too Hollywood for her or something, then maybe I'd buy it. But to just, like, recklessly throw it in and be like, how can we give these guys heat? Why don't we use your dead brother?
So you, honest to God, you would say no way. Like, they put
on Charlotte?
Yeah, or just in your own life. Like,
I mean,
they
weird.
Put heat on their match by invoking...
They're trying anything
by disrespecting the death of her brother.
She's a good enough wrestler where she should try to get over on her own. They use her dad. She wins the belt. They parade out her dad.
Wasn't that part you thought he might come out?
Yeah, but I was shocked he didn't, because he has been. He was there when she won, and then they talk about her brother, and it's a little bit like she's overusing that Flair Foundation, and this was, for me, really far.
Yeah.
Even though, yeah, it gave them some good beef, and Paige went really far.
Yeah,
I wish a lot of the acting was a little bit stronger for something so real and so serious. I think what was uncomfortable about it for me is that it wasn't done well enough for what it was. That being said, I feel for Charlotte because that was really hard. And look, if that was her choice to do it, then that's her choice.
Sure.
It's her business.
Yeah.
But
if she feels like my brother would be cool with it, you know, that's for them to know.
100%. For me, her crying up there made it feel like a little uncomfortable. I did a show for years at UCB Theater. I was on an improv team called Death by Ruru. And we did a show called The Fucked Up Family.
Mm-hmm.
And we would interview people about their fucked up family and then do a show on it. And we would encourage people to come up with the most fucked up stuff. Like, that was our sense of humor. That was our identity. We loved it. And for the most part, people would come up and say things that were really sad. We've had people who were, like, molested, had both of their kids, both of their parents die in, like, horrible accidents. Really sad stuff, you know? And we'd make a fun show about it, and they were comfortable with it.
Sure.
So they would come up. But every once in a while, someone would volunteer, think that they were ready to share.
Yeah.
They'd get up there with us, and we wanted the details. We wanted, because we don't need the interview to be funny.
Yep.
And you'd see, like, oh, wow.
Broad strokes don't do anything for you. Like, yeah, my dad was just a bad guy. And you're like, well, come on, you're up here. Like, what do you mean a bad guy?
Like, yeah, they'd want to laugh about the light stuff, and we'd be like, no, we need the details to do the show. Right. And you volunteered, and we kind of gave you that warning. And that anyway, the point is, that's how I felt in that moment. It felt like that, where it's like, wow, somebody thought they were this was a good idea, or that they were ready for this, right. or that it would be a good idea. And it's like, oh, this is the reality era, so let's bring this in. But for me, I was like, this just felt crazy yeah. and unnecessary.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way about it. But, I mean, people are going to be right pumped up to see that fight, I guess.
Yeah. All right, that being said, it's her own thing. I really like Paige as a heel. I think she's a really good heel.
I think she's great in Santa's Little Helper.
She's going to be amazing in Santa's Little Helper. 100%.
Dude, you have to do a special Christmas edition of this podcast.
Do you want
to
watch it one time and you'll come back and we'll talk about Santa's Little Helper?
Yes, dude.
I think Ziggler's in it too, right?
Hopefully.
I mean, they're all in it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I want to add one last thing that I didn't add in before. To speak to you. You were talking about like when you met Big Show.
Yeah.
Me and my friends would always talk about like The Rock used to spit at the crowd. Do you remember that? And the mm-hmm. Attitude Era, he would just like spit. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. I think he's cleaned up his act since
dude,
then.
I remember seeing him live when he was Rocky Maivia.
We would always talk about, we'd always be like, yo, if The Rock spit near you, would you try to catch it in your mouth? And at the time, we all said yes. We love The Rock so much. I still love The Rock that much. Yeah. But I don't think I would catch a spit now. That seems, I can't even get into where my head was at that point. But we were so into The Rock. We're like, you got it. It's The Rock. You got to catch his.
I can't wait till you meet The Rock, and I hope you tell him this story.
I know.
It's going to happen.
My friend, one time my friend who works at Jimmy Fallon, I was watching The Rock's Instagram, and my friend and him were on The Rock's Instagram together. They were doing like a bit.
Yeah.
And I just texted him right away. I just was like, I can't believe you met The Rock. And then there's other people on UCB. I've seen them in videos
yeah.
with The Rock. And I'm just like, what is that?
Hal Rudnick has done stuff.
Hal Rudnick, yeah. That video where he got married yeah. someone. Nick I was Bundy, like, yeah. oh my God. I was like, I have to get, if I can get The Rock to UCB to do my show.
Could you imagine, dude?
I mean.
The place would explode. You would explode.
It would be, yeah, I would get electrocuted. There'd be too much electricity running through.
Oh, I hope you'd be like, now look, Rock, when you come out for my live show, it's, you know, it's mostly fun and stuff.
Yeah.
But there is a part, I think you said you'd agree to it. I don't know, but you're going to spit into my mouth.
You're going to spit out of country. And we're going to have to, like, and I don't want you to break kayfabe.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Great. Let's end talking about Raw now, but I got a really special guest.
Nice.
Coming up. Stone Cold Steve Austin himself is on the podcast.
Shit, dude.
Yeah. He's coming in right now after you leave. So I'm going to have to ask you to go.
Yeah, no, you got it. He can have this chair. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Great to see you, man. And we'll get you back and we'll watch Santa's little Helper.
I can't wait. This commentary. Awesome. With the commentary.
With the commentary. Watch all the Easter eggs. So my first professional wrestler guest on this podcast is as big of a get as you could get. I am excited. I can't believe I'm sitting right here. I'm 1 foot away from the WWE Hall of Famer, the Texas Rattlesnake. I mean, let's not waste any time. Here he is, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great. How are
it
you?
It is an honor to be here as the first ever guest on your first episode, because if you've done any before, it ain't going to matter a lick of shit after we're done talking today.
Well, this is the second episode, actually.
Well, it's the first in my book, because it's the first time that I'm here on the Kyle Comedians of Wrestling. You can put away the babies and lock up the dogs, because we're about to bust it open.
That's great. Well, there's no... The dog's in the crate, and there's no babies. I don't have any babies in here.
Well, then let's stop with the fiddle fucking around and get down to business.
Okay, so my first question for you is the question on every single person's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Austin, are you going to be wrestling in WrestleMania 32?
Well, I'd like to get to that, Dan, but before I do, I'd like to tell you about DDP Yoga. Are you familiar with the benefits that your life can go through? There's a guy, he was in Vietnam in 1982 on vacation. He fell and hurt his hip. They told his ass he'd never walk again. He watched a YouTube video about a guy who served in Vietnam, and he learned how to walk, and so did he. They're doing great stuff down there at DDP. Okay. You should check them out.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Mr. Austin.
That's fine. I'm done.
But was that I know what DDP yoga is. Is this a plug?
It's a life-changing way for you to get yourself back in shape, back on top, and back to back with living right.
Okay. All right. I know that that's a sponsor of your podcast, but I
that's
really
what
want
we're
to
doing
ask you
here.
This question. Can you just answer the question?
Shoot. I ain't trying to kayfabe your ass. Just tell me what the hell you want to know.
I want to know, are you going to be wrestling at WrestleMania 32? It's what everyone on the internet wants to know.
Now look, okay? My neck's put together with two rubber bands and a box of matches. So I don't know if I need to be out there going off the belt buckle, taking down a stunner ass on any schmo who wants to come in and get one. That being said, could I still bring that son of a bitch? You bet your ass I could. Could I still come on down that highway, light up these people better than they've ever seen in the last 10 years? Because I don't know if you know this, we got a problem in the WWE. People can't bring heat. They don't know how to do it. Right? They don't know how to get your ass riled up. So do I got the opportunity to come back at WrestleMania 2? Well, I do have an opportunity. And that opportunity is called Sherry's Berries. Now, for just $19.99, I can get your ass. We're going to extend this to all your listeners that they can get a dozen berries for $19.99. White chocolate, almond chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate. What? That's just a straight shoe right there. I can get your listeners if they go to sherrysberries.com, type in comedians of wrestling, hashtag Stone Cold said so, and get that deal.
Okay, look, I appreciate that, and I know
damn right you do.
Okay, yeah, look, it's an honor to have you here, but so you're saying that you have the ability to wrestle at WrestleMania?
I can get it done, yes.
But are you going to do it? Sounds like you have the ability. Sounds like, you know, we know you're getting a little bit older.
Say it.
You're getting a little bit older. You're the one who said that your neck is put together with
rubber bands and a box of matches, goddammit.
Right. So you gave us a pro, a con. Are you going to wrestle at WrestleMania 32 this year? Yes or no? Give me a yes or a no answer.
I am definitely wrestling with the decision on whether or not I should do that. I'm going to tell you this, okay? I have made a decision, and that decision is to sell a brand new product called Little Washer Dildos. Now, what that is, it deals as a back scrubber, but on one end is a perfectly serrated replica of a man's penis. So if by chance you fall in the shower, that some bitch goes straight up you like Tom Sawyer in a cave. I read the book. You can pull that son of a bitch right back out. You can buy that at CVS and Walgreens for $10.95 unless you go in and say Stone Cold sent you. They're going to give you a buck off that son of a bitch, but it'll give you an extra inch too. And that's all I got to say about that.
You saying if I go into CVS and mention Stone Cold?
Hell yeah. Try it.
Okay, look. So you're not going to. All right. You're not going to. Let's move on to another question.
All right.
Okay. So Seth Rollins, he's injured. He's got a big injury. You had a big injury in your career.
Boy's done. He's locked up.
Do you have any piece of advice for Seth Rollins in his time of need right now?
Well, I'm going to say this. He needs to look himself in the mirror and say, do I want this? Do I want to do this? That's how I felt when I first signed on to be part of the Expendables. You know, you got to ask, is this the thing I need in my life? Because he's got to bounce back. It's going to take him a long time. And the best way that he can bounce back is the little thing called DDP yoga. Have I talked to you about that?
Yes, you already brought up DDP yoga. We all know what DDP yoga is.
Well, it's the best way to get yourself in shape. You know, they done it for Scott Hall. They done it for Jake the Snake. Okay? And you could line up for that, and he can bring himself back. I do think he can come back for this. He's probably going to need to cut his hair.
Cut it. That's your piece of advice for him? He's going to need to cut his hair?
Need to reinvent
yourself.
Right,
well, we got an answer.
Yeah, you need to reinvent yourself. Okay? You need to reinvent yourself, maybe mix it up a little bit. You can't always have steak for dinner. Sometimes you need to have something I like to call Sherry's Berries. And a Sherry's Berries dinner.
How did you come back to this?
A Sherry's Berries dinner will treat you right, and it's the best thing you can do. All you gotta do is get those ducats all in order, 19 of them, and you can have yourself a Sherry's Berries order today, thanks to Comedians of Wrestling, The Cow, and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, are you calling my podcast The Cow?
Well, I think you ought to go with that. Shorten that son of a bitch up a little bit.
Because your podcast. Because of the broken
Unleashed.
Right? Unleashed. BSR. Okay, all right. So Seth Rollins should shave his head and have some Sherry's Berries.
I would say you got to shave that some bitch, okay? Don't got to go super clean like my ass. Maybe give yourself a bob. Have you seen any movie lately where the smartest woman doesn't have a bob, okay? You go look at your Jurassic Park. Bob cut. The movie Lucy. It's a classic. Bob cut. And you, yourself, can see a movie like Lucy if you sign up for Redbox today and enter in BSR Unleashed at checkout.
Oh, Stone Cold, please, you need to stop with the sponsorships, okay? I really just need a straight answer here, okay? My listeners want this. This is a new podcast.
All right. Got a lot of advertisers already just by having me on.
Okay, so, all right, let's move on, okay? So recently, I was reading an article. Goldberg, he went on a TMZ sports report.
Yep.
And said that you were not drinking your beers during your wrestling run. That you were mostly spitting them out, pouring them down your body. How do you respond to that?
Okay, well, first of all, his ass ain't none to talk. Okay? Because I've seen aboriginals in my life. That's a spear. You ever seen him actually spear somebody? With a spear?
With an axe. Goldberg with an actual spear? I've never seen that. No.
Okay, let me ask you another question. If I'm out there in the squared circle getting ready to open up a can of whoop ass for the working man, or if I'm here on your award-winning podcast about to do this show for the working man, you want my ass drunk before I do that?
I guess not.
No, right? You pay your goddamn hard-earned money to come out and see that show, and you want me to bring my A game, am I right?
Yes.
Another question for you. Should I be drunk then when I'm doing that?
No.
Have you ever seen Goldberg actually wear any gold?
No.
So is his ass one to talk? I think not. What he needs to do is take him and his goddamn goatee and go out there and act like he's still pissed off about something for a guy that walked into a streak and, as far as I'm concerned, didn't do a hell of beans to earn that son of a bitch.
Okay, so... Okay, I'll accept that answer.
The short answer is yes, I poured a goddamn beer all over myself. I didn't want to be drunk.
Yeah, okay, great. I love that you answered that question, Stone Cold. That was an obvious answer.
Well, there's a lot of answers in life.
And you're going very roundabout to answer simple questions.
There's a lot of answers in life. For sometimes that answer can be Richard Swimmons sweating to the oldies. You can get with a deal a meal package for $27 right now at RichardSimmons.com. Worried about portion size, liking your mashed potatoes? Then sign up for Deal-A-Meal. You got your cards and your pamphlets, and Richard Simmons will hook you up with the life-changing plan to get you in shape. And that's all I got to say about that.
I don't know. I don't know how you got there. Stone Cold, let me ask you something.
Shoot.
Who's your favorite person that you ever stunnered? Right, that's a simple question.
Right, well...
What was your favorite stunner you ever gave?
Now, Vince is a bit of a son of a bitch, okay? I stunned his ass numerous times.
Let's get into that. Your relationship with Vince, that's
well,
really
well, I think we can get down in that road, okay? That's a country road. I got no problem being paid. But what I will say is, Vince, I once stunned a person who asked me to stun them. And we videotaped the whole goddamn thing. Vince didn't want to put it on the air. Vince said, we can't do that, right? Now, I'm going to tell you this story of this person I stunned. You tell me whether or not this should have been on Raw, okay?
I will, yeah.
We did a show at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, Illinois. We walk out the back, and there's this kid standing there. He wants me to stun his ass, okay? Now, it had rained earlier back of an alley. You know how juices can move around in the city, right?
Juices can move around. You know what I'm saying?
You're in an alley. Who got by guy who knows what's in that son of a bitch.
Right.
This kid says to me, would you be willing to stun my ass? Now, Dan, I'm going to tell you, this is bright as the sun is right. That kid wanted that to be his make-a-wish. Okay? Kid's got stage 7 lymphoma. His mom and dad wheeled him up. He's all hooked in, but, you know, back, giving his ass fluid and stuff like that. He says, oh, Stunner, are you going to drop a can of whoop-ass on me? They say, I ain't going to make it. You know, goddamn kid had hours to live from what I can tell looking at him. I'm walking out. It's me and JR. JR said, I think you got to do this for this boy. We get, now there's a lot of guys people don't know. His name's Glenn Doherty. Glenn's running tape on the whole goddamn thing. Back alley. I say, JR, I got to stun this son of a bitch. That's what this kid wants, you know? I stunned him. That motherfucker died right there in that alley. And he died with a goddamn smile on his face. Stage 7 lymphoma. Don't got nothing on him getting a stunner at the back of the Aragon Ballroom. What? You know what I'm saying? Now, Vince said we couldn't put that on Raw. Me killing a goddamn kid with stage 7 lymphoma, even though that was his make-a-wish. I want to know where, Dan Black, here on the cow, you fall on that.
I'm speechless. I don't even know
beautiful
what to
story,
say.
Story, right?
I'm wondering.
You tell me right now, you're about to go. You're looking down death's doorway. The light's coming through the keyhole. They're turning the key and opening it up for you. And you got a chance to go out with a stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know it's coming anyway. You tell me you ain't going to get in line for that water park?
You sold me. You sold me on it. I think that would be a great way to go out with a stunner.
Yeah, he wanted that. Vince says, no, we can't air that. You got John Cena running around here giving kids fucking M&Ms, okay, for their gluten lymphoma. I'm dropping stunners on kids. You tell me that ain't better?
I guess it is. I would rather get a stunner than some M&Ms.
You're damn right you would.
Wow. I mean, yeah, getting a stunner from Stone Cold seems like an honor. I guess a stunner.
Another way
death.
To go out.
You don't see why they wouldn't want to release that video.
Well, the best part was is after he's laying there convulsing and dying, which is what he wanted. JR's yelling, "Bring a stretcher out here. We got to get paramedics." People thought it was part of the bit. You know, JR's been doing made a career out of calling for the medics to come in. So nobody went and got him. That kid, he twitched away right there until he was gone. Parents thanked me afterwards.
Well, that you just unsold me. That sounds terrible.
Well, I mean, it ain't so good on the back end, but up front, it was a beautiful thing. God damn it!
Well, let's talk about your Make-A-Wish work. You've done, you know, John Cena has done over 500 Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, it's a good thing what he does.
He's the most Make-A-Wish of any celebrity, I believe, ever.
Sure.
But you were also in the John Cena position back in the Attitude Era, the biggest star in the company. How come you didn't do as many Make-A-Wishes as John Cena?
Well, after the first one I did was killing that kid. So after that, the Make-A-Wish Foundation kind of shied away from what the Rattlesnake would bring to the table.
Yeah, I'm seeing right here in the stats that you had one Make-A-Wish.
That was it?
And it has an asterisk next to it.
Let me ask you this. How many people have made an impact on a kid's life like I did that day?
I guess anyone else who's murdered a child?
Yeah, but was that their wish? I don't think so. No. Now, I'll tell you this. Everybody has a wish for the holidays. And you can do the holidays right by calling 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and putting BSR Unleashed in the checkout box, and they will send you some red poinsettias.
All right, Sunko, please stop dropping sponsors on here. I'm trying to get this podcast sponsored so I can get some money for doing it.
You are sponsored right now. You are sponsored by me. People can check out my podcast, Unleashed. We got a family edition, comes out, and then we also got an Unleashed edition that comes out when we're dropping stunners and F-bombs like it's going out to style.
All right, Stone Cold, let's talk about the Broken Skull Challenge.
Filming it right now. We have the longest filming production schedule in the history of Hollywood. We're out here in Ogo Dulce, California.
In where?
Ogo Dulce, California. Okay. Killing flies. You heard about my fly situation? No. They got fly fuckers so big out here, you could ride them sons of bitches. They're doing farm work on these goddamn flies. I had to go down and get myself a swatter, all right? This fucking swatter had to come in on a forklift just so I could have one big enough to catch these motherfuckers. They got a fly problem out here that I think has not been addressed enough in these political debates that I've seen.
Okay.
But we need to maybe get somebody out of the country, get these fucking flies out of here. Ogo Dulce's got issues.
Okay. I don't know where that is. Stone Cold, can we stay on track here? Yeah. Let's talk about the show.
Broken Skull Challenge?
Yeah. This show seems to be running all the time. Is it?
That's true. What we do, we take actors and actresses who also do CrossFit, consider themselves athletes, and we break them out here. We break them every day until one of two things happens. They die or they move back to Cincinnati, and that's how the Broken Skull Challenge works. And I can tell you right now, the reason we're always running, Hollywood does not have a shortage on dipshit actors and actresses who also do CrossFit.
That's true.
Now, let me ask you point blank, man to man.
Yeah.
Mano. Okay. Hey, Mano.
Let's man up.
Do you want to come on the Broken Skull Challenge?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in amazing shape.
Well, get your ass there. You come up, we'll fucking have you wrestling flies, taking bumps off of horse flies, and then we'll get you in the Broken Skull Challenge.
All right, sure.
That's sounds great. Cool. You can check out the Broken Skull Challenge three times a week on CMT, the Country Music Television Channel, even though they don't play anything country or music. Just now, call it tea.
No, Stone Cold, you're bringing something up really interesting.
Hit it.
You brought up country music.
Yeah.
A lot of people were complaining about your interview with Brock Lesnar on the WWE Network.
Why's that?
They were complaining on the boards, on the internet, that you guys were talking about some really boring issues.
Right? Yeah, look at it like that. Let me ask you this. You drive something around?
Yeah, I drive.
What are you driving?
Toyota Prius C.
A Toyota, what is it?
A Prius C.
You like a go-kart? Because that sounds awesome. That is a badass ride if I've ever heard of one.
No, it's a hybrid Toyota
car. You rocking 22s on that son of a bitch?
22
wheels? Yeah.
It just comes with standard 17s, I think.
All right, but it's a badass ride.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's...
How long you had that son of a bitch?
Well, 2.5 years. My lease is up in another 6 months.
You leased it. You're not a man that likes to own things?
Is it... For car purposes, I feel like leasing is the smarter option.
That's badass. I like that. You essentially have taken what Blockbuster used to do for a car.
Yeah, leasing. But leasing is not a new...
You rented it.
I rented it, yeah, but leasing is the term they use.
That's badass. You like what is it, Prey and C's?
It's a Prius C. You've never seen a Prius?
I don't know. I'll tell you right now, is it a truck?
No, it's not a truck.
I'm a truck driving man, but I still think your Prius C sounds badass. I got another question for you.
Yeah.
Type of music you like to listen to?
Me? I don't know. I don't think people really... are interested in what kind of music I'm interested in.
Well, you got to be into something, goddammit. What do you like?
I kind of like all music. I'd say I like alternative rock because I'm, from the...
Like Soul Asylum?
Yeah, like Soul Asylum.
Runaway train, coming back. Yeah. One way on a runway track.
Yeah. Like that? Yeah, I love that. That was a song I was into.
They sing a great song called Janie's Got a Gun. Another great Soul Asylum hit.
That's Aerosmith. That's an Aerosmith song.
Not familiar with Arrow and Smith.
I don't think anyone wants to hear us.
More of a Smith and Wesson man myself. Alternative rock. You talking like Candlebox?
Yeah, sure. Candlebox. Far Behind.
Yeah. Now maybe sending me to treat you so bad, but I did it anyway.
That's not really how they sing it, Stone Cold. They don't accentuate.
Days of the New.
I'm not familiar, no.
No Days of the New? That's not your jam?
No, that's not my jam.
Where else you go? On that little Soundgarden?
Yeah, I like Soundgarden.
That is bad ass.
Yeah.
But Black Hole Sun.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a little bit of Soundgarden. What's the first concert you ever went to?
Dave Matthews Band.
That's great. What kind of toothpaste you use?
Sensodyne?
Yeah. Not familiar. What color is it? White? It sounds like a white toothpaste.
Stone Cold, I feel like no one wants to hear what kind of toothpaste I use. You're getting really manual into the micro electric, details of people's
manual
lives.
Or electric toothbrush.
It's electric toothbrush.
I would recommend going with Oral-B.
I want to gear us back. I want to bring us back to the original question. Will you be wrestling at WrestleMania 32?
Well, let's say I did. Right? You going to be there?
Yeah. I am going to be there.
Your ass going to be there in
Texas.
States.
It's in Texas.
We ain't fiddle fucking around right now.
No.
Whether you take the stairs or the window, your ass has got to go to WrestleMania.
Yes.
What airline are you going to fly there?
I don't know. I didn't book my tickets yet.
Well, you go in to get your airline tickets. You an Orbitz man, Kayak man. How you do it?
I do. I've been using Kayak.
You go direct, Southwest, Delta, Continental.
Me and my fiance have a Delta card. So
well, you're married, man. You're getting married.
Yeah, I'm getting
locked it up. So when the whoop's down, now here's the deal. Where are you registered at?
Bloomingdale's.
Oh, you went fancy on that ass, huh?
I think so, yeah.
That's a good story. One question I got to know from you that I'm sure everybody is curious about, and if a Stone Cold don't address this before he gets out of here, we're going to be remiss. What kind of stuff you got on that register?
I don't... The standard forks. Stuff. Yeah, forks.
You need forks?
I need forks.
Hell, man, I'll let you borrow a goddamn fork.
Stone Cold, are you going to be wrestling at WrestleMania 32?
No.
No.
I'm not.
No. That's the answer.
I'm going to be opening up a can of whoop-ass at the concession stand right out front before I decide to do it. You get jalapenos on your nachos?
No. Sometimes.
Pepsi AC, you get heartburn.
Okay.
You look like a man that gets heartburn.
You are very frustrating to speak to, Stone Cold.
All I'm trying to do is let the working man who loves to hear your award-winning podcast, C-O-W,
awards
for Why Not, and asking you what they want to know.
Stone Cold, I have no awards. I would get an award maybe... I would get some attention if you would answer this question here on my podcast.
What's that?
Are you going to wrestle at WrestleMania 32?
Well, hell, I might do it. All right, we're trying to lock it down. Okay? Vince said he'll have me back. He's begging my ass to come in and do it. I told him, if I get to stun your ass and you blow out both your fucking quads, I'll come back and do it. So if I can get that lined up, or trying to get back into that Make-A-Wish game.
No, I don't think that's a good idea. You know what, Stone Cold, I think we've talked enough. How do you feel?
I feel great. I got to head back to Ogo Dulce, California.
Where?
Ogo Dulce, California. I got to head back out there. I bought myself a fucking cattle prod to deal with these goddamn horse flies. I will say before I go, are you a person who likes lean cuisines? Because if you go to your local grocer right now, you can get 3 lean cuisines for $4 just by telling them at checkout, Stone Cold sent you.
No, stop it. No more sponsorships on my podcast.
Trying to help your ass.
You know what?
What? Oh, you push me, huh?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to take the rubber band off this neck and open up a can of whoop-ass. I'm going to be waiting for
you're
you
pissing
outside.
Me off. You know what? You're pissing me off a little bit.
Well, it's good to see your ass riled up. Okay? You can't just sit here in your comfy-ass chair. I do my show on broken glass.
You do your show on broken
glass? Every goddamn time I borrow a vase from somebody's aunt, I break that sumbitch and I sit on it to record my show.
Okay, you know what?
I'm going to take off. I'll be waiting for your ass outside. You come join me if you want, and afterwards, we'll do a little DDP yoga.
Okay, all right. Thanks for coming by. All right, goodbye, Stone Cold.